Buddy? Oh, this is the best hour because he's presenting.
That's, yeah, because you're not presenting is a better way to put it.
Ooh, ooh.
You just get to sit there and react.
I get to be Cenk. I get to be Cenk, where I just let you give a couple details to the story, and then I sound off for like 15 minutes, and then maybe you'll get to comment a little bit, and we'll move on.
I'm fine with that. That's actually great, because I had this feeling I had to have opinions and thoughts of my own.
Uh-huh. Now you don't.
That terrifies me. There's going to be a portion where we look at funny pictures and come up with comments about them, or just react to them,
uh-huh.
And I am fine with that portion of the event.
Fun.
But in the meantime, do you want to do Twitter reach out or whatever the social media aspect of this show is called?
So I do. Obviously, you guys can tweet to us using the hashtag TYTLive. I highly recommend you do so. We also have Super Chat. These are comments from YouTube Live Chat, which you can join by going to youtube.com/TYT. Sebastian Garcia. Sebastian is one of my favorite names. I love the name Sebastian.
Seabass.
Seabass.
You ever call him Seabass?
I've never used that, no.
Seabass.
Pretty
that's
cool.
It's a good shorthand because it's also a fish.
It is. Okay.
Sorry.
He tweeted and said that he liked my glasses from yesterday. Thank you. I got a lot of nice compliments about it. I hate wearing my glasses on air, but sometimes my eyes feel more tired than other days, and I feel like I can't not wear them.
Do you have strabismus?
What?
Strabismus is lazy eye. Uh-huh. I dated a girl with a lazy eye, but I always had this feeling she was seeing someone else on the side. It's a Red Skelton joke. Sorry, it's a weird day. It feels strange.
Okay, all right. So TYT Lives. I Am Sock says, why do we keep catching Russian fish? Must be the fisherman's fault. So we're in regard to the Russia story. I like that. That's good. Gabby says, really, DeSantis? You want to plant your flag on the Trump-tanic right now? These lifeboats are running out, but have at it, Haas. Yeah, I don't understand anyone who would try to support or protect Trump, especially after what happened in Charlottesville, this Russia investigation. Get out now, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, I'm tired of feeling this way. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I get really frustrated and I talk about it and I feel like it just breeds so much negativity, and now I don't even like myself amidst all of this. We have some stories today that I think will, that'll bring us up, buoy us up in this time of feeling bad. It's revolving around dogs and
yeah,
safety.
You made me laugh a lot on the show yesterday, so hopefully that happens again today.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna try. I have a segment called "Let's Make Anna Cry."
No, don't.
About dogs in hurricanes. We'll see how it goes.
No.
All right, let's get started, shall we?
Let's do it.
Trump's thing was too small, so he fired the guy responsible for making it bigger. I'm speaking, of course, about his rally in Phoenix. The Phoenix rally, he tweeted about it afterwards. I don't know if you saw this tweet where he said, thank you, Arizona. Beautiful turnout of 15,000 in Phoenix tonight. Full coverage of my rally via Facebook at whatever. And if you watch that video, he says, there's a lot of people in here. I want the fire marshals to let the ones who are trapped outside in. Well, it turned out it wasn't as big an event as he kind of led on. We have a video that emerged from that event. Let's see if we can take a look. So as you see, as it pans to the side, there aren't that many people. As many folks as he wanted to put behind him on stage in different positions, and as much noise as they could generate from putting microphones near the folks who were there, it wasn't nearly as big as he led on. There was a spokesperson from the city of Phoenix who said, maybe somewhere around the 10,000 person range, where 4,500 to 5,000 were turned away as it was because they got there when it was wrapping up. Another on-site report says that there were about 4,000 people inside. And this made Trump very upset. And so he turned his aggression on the person who's in charge of organizing those events, the director of scheduling in advance, George Gigakos. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he, according to reports, will never manage a Trump rally again. And reports from CNN say that Trump was irate and chewed him the hell out.
Because it was his fault that the crowd size wasn't as large as he would have liked.
Yep, that's it. I mean, there's more reports about what actually happened on the inside. The New York Magazine reports hundreds left early, while others plopped down on the ground, scrolled through their social media feeds, or started up a conversation with their neighbors after waiting for hours in 107 degree heat to get into the rally hall, where their water bottles were confiscated by security. People were tired and dehydrated, and the president just wasn't keeping their attention.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Look, we just had an election, right? Mm-hmm. It hasn't even been a year since the election took place. And he's already having rallies. And mind you, he had that rally soon after the disaster in Charlottesville, Virginia. And that rally also included his speech where he was incredibly defensive over defending the neo-Nazis, saying that some of them are good people. Just stop. There are nominations that he needs to make in order to fill positions in the White House, among White House agencies. There are so many issues right now that you should be focusing on. And instead, he's having a rally as if it's election season. We've already gone through that trauma. Give us a little bit of a breather and actually focus on doing your job for once. I can't believe he fired this guy. It's not this guy's fault that you're starting to lose support. You're making enemies out of allies left and right. You're firing people left and right. There's infighting, there's leaking, there's nothing but chaos coming from the White House. I think this guy who usually puts your campaign events together is the least of your problems.
And he had been putting together events in the past,
yeah.
Events that were better attended.
Yeah.
And so this is more, I guess, when faced with the decision, if you're Trump, of looking at yourself and criticizing yourself or blaming it on someone in middle management, that's the kind of thing that he does, where he's shaking these trees. And it's crazy how many people I find out about, like whose names I find out about that I would never learn in a million years from other administrations, because
right.
Trump just got mad at them because something that Trump himself seems to have caused has made news. And rather than take responsibility on himself, he has decided to kick it down at George Gijikas.
So it's a human instinct to not want to take the blame or the responsibility. But it's a human instinct when you are young and immature. And I think even young people are more willing to take responsibility for their actions. Keep in mind that the Republican Party is supposed to be the party of taking personal responsibility. They're the ones who will turn to people living in the most impoverished conditions imaginable, and they'll be like, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, personal responsibility. What about you guys? What about your personal responsibility? What about your president's personal responsibility? That rally wasn't attended by the crowds that you wanted because you suck. Okay, you suck. Your approval ratings are at an all-time low because of, you know, your reaction to Charlottesville, Virginia. And then you're gonna turn around and blame other people for it? Take a look in the mirror. I know it's a scary sight, but just take a quick look in the mirror.
And also just like the timeline of who he's blaming and for what. Amid all this, when people in the White House can hear his, you know, chief of, or whoever it is, passing this judgment down to the advance guy, amid all this, Trump is still saying things like, you saw the massive crowd we had. He said this on Monday. You saw the massive crowd we had. People went crazy when I said, what did you think of Sheriff Joe, or something to that effect. So he's firing this guy for a small turnout, which yeah. we can see in a video on Snapchat or Twitter proven. Mm-hmm. But he's firing a guy, not necessarily firing him. There's conflicting reports saying whether he resigned or whatever, but it's pretty clear that he's not happy with this guy. Amid all that, he's still saying we had a massive turnout of this event.
Because he's pathetic. He's the guy with the small penis who constantly feels the need to talk about how big his penis is.
Yep, or right? He just buys a big truck, has a big, every one of his buildings just looks like a giant golden phallus, I think.
It keeps happening because no one has done exactly what Anna said, was you suck, this is your fault. Mm-hmm. He's failed all these businesses, it's very well documented. He screwed this over, he didn't get that deal done. But after all that failure happens, someone still goes, hey, we'll give you another chance. Hey, go edit this one. Hey, let me give you some more money. Hey, we'll put your name on this. And it keeps happening. So he gets to continue to say, I'm awesome no matter how much I fail, because people keep giving me another chance.
Yep.
And that's what we're doing even with him as president. Nobody in that room is saying, hey, Mr. Trump, you're getting rid of this guy who has nothing to do with your approval ratings or how many people showed up. You just suck, because if you do, you're getting fired.
You're getting fired, exactly.
But isn't it also weird that like the right thing to do, according to so many in this situation, when you do disagree with Trump, is to resign, creating more space in the White House to be filled with lackeys and yes men? I don't know about that. That was the one thing when the Elon Musk was first called out for being on advisory committees, various like Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. They said, you need to get off of this advisory committee. And the answer, I don't know. I'm so conflicted
in
that.
I do know.
And it's
because being on his advisory committee means absolutely nothing. He has no interest in hearing from people who want to challenge his ideas. He wants to do away with people who are going to challenge him. He wants people to stroke his ego and make him feel good about himself. And what he fails to realize is, as he continues to surround himself with individuals who refuse to challenge him, and as he continues to do things that are unpopular and damaging, his approval rating will continue to dip. And he tries to overcompensate by claiming that everyone loves him. And what actually amazes me more than anything is that some of his supporters found pictures of other crowds and pretended as though that was the crowd that attended the rally in Arizona. What is wrong with you people? Like, you're lying to yourself. That's crazy.
I also like the way Trump talks about the event. He's like, Jijikos had staged the event. I mean, it says Trump, according to this New York Magazine article, says Trump was criticizing it, saying this event was staged in a large multi-purpose room. The main floor space was bisected by a dividing wall, leaving part of the space empty. There were some bleachers off to the side, but otherwise the audience was standing and the scene appeared flat, lacking energy and enthusiasm in other rallies. I mean, if this is properly attributed to Trump, maybe he should organize all the events.
Yeah, for real.
We'll take down a wall over here. We'll bring in the biggest bleachers you've ever seen. Maybe that's his calling, is to set up like furniture for his rallies.
Maybe.
I think that'd be a good idea. I don't know. I'm more concerned right now that like all the potential things that could get him caught for doing bad stuff were more likely to get noticed with like Reince Priebus as his chief of staff. Mm-hmm. And now you have right now the people kind of keeping order are the generals. And whenever I hear like weird third world stuff, it's like there's a dictator surrounded by generals. I don't like that. All right, let's move on to the next story. I will flip this page now. Okay, there are two new lawsuits that have arisen around Trump's trans service member ban. And let's give you a little more information about who's filing them and who's behind them, because they're pretty compelling. The first is from the ACLU. The ACLU's Maryland branch filed the lawsuit right after the trans ban came into effect, and then was last Friday during the news dump brought up again by Trump through a more formal issuance. The ACLU just tweeted, "We'll see you in court." Well, that has come to fruition. They have five transgender service members. There's a 9-year veteran, a 10-year veteran, a 6-year active duty airman. It's kind of amazing. There's a 13-year veteran, a 16-year veteran trans service member. They're all behind this. The second is by Lambda Legal and OutServe SLDN. And there's a 12-year veteran involved in that. And then two folks who want two trans individuals who are trying to join the service. And one of them is Drew Lane. There was Daily Beast did a kind of an expose, an article introducing Drew Lane, who wants to join the military in the Air Force as a survival, evasion, resistance, and escape specialist. And here's what Drew said for himself. He said, "In my experience, anyone who is meeting the necessary requirements should be able to serve openly. I think the ban would affect a lot of people's futures. They would like to serve and protect their homeland, and it's basically cutting out people's future plans. I wanted to be part of this lawsuit to be a voice for myself and others who want to serve their countries." Right now, 16 years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a super inspiring story. His mother, Laura Garza, said, as a mother, and Laura has said she agrees with Trump on certain issues, just not this one. She says, "As a mother, I've learned firsthand that this is not a choice that's made. It's actually the way someone is born. It's to do with my child, and therefore I support my child in anything my child wishes to do. This is discrimination and limited to a population of people based on something extremely personal."
Yeah, so I absolutely agree with her. I'm curious to see what she agrees with Trump on, but whatever, that's not relevant. Look, I that 16-year-old is amazing. Yeah. The fact that he is so clear on what he wants to do, and he's a person with convictions, a person who's motivated and hungry and wants to fulfill his goals, that is the type of American that everyone in this country should be proud of, not the type of American that we should fight to take rights away from. And so, look, how many 16-year-olds do you see fighting for things like this? And even coming from a disenfranchised group of people, having the courage to come forward and say, no, this is not okay. I'm not gonna let Trump stop me from protecting my country, from serving my country. What an amazing person. And look, we all know what the transgender ban was really about. It's about doing something that goes against what Obama did during his administration, because anything that Obama did, regardless of how logical and regardless of how much common sense was behind it, Trump wants to do the opposite, right? It's like he's a child, and he wanted to pander to his base. There have been no legislative wins. He hasn't succeeded in doing anything he promised to do, and this is just an easy way of getting something done. Just going ahead, pandering to his base and saying, look, I banned transgender people from the military, which, by the way, is actually gonna cost us a lot of money, because we're gonna have to find military members to replace those who are now banned. We're gonna have to train them. We're gonna have to spend a considerable amount of resources to make sure they're prepared to be part of the military. And so it's just such a dumb, nonsensical way to go about things.
Yeah, and that's if he means it. If he means to ban them, then it will cost, I mean, what is it, $70,000 per person. There's up to 15,000 people, trans service members right now, who have joined in the time or come out in the time that it's been in effect, which is just since last year. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is what I mean by if he means it is those folks, according to what was originally laid out in a tweet, and later made more formal through this random ambiguous statement that gives a certain amount of leeway to generals to define whether the people who are in the current service are allowed to stay there.
He's crazy.
It just doesn't make any sense. And what's gonna happen is the generals, general after general, has said, I don't see any reason why these folks would not be allowed to serve.
That's right. And keep in mind that this is coming at a time when Trump just gave a speech about another surge in Afghanistan. So you want to deploy more troops to a failing war and simultaneously ban an entire group of people from being part of our military.
But it was a similarly ambiguous statement about a surge.
That's right.
The way it was an ambiguous statement about the trans service members. Yeah, we should get them out. You're absolutely right. It's signaling to a base, but you leave all these folks around. We've all worked for bosses like this, where it's like, we're gonna change it this way. And you just look around going like, how? Mm-hmm. That's literally impossible. And it doesn't help anything. That's not solving a problem. I think the mother's absolutely right when she says things like, these people have already, who are in the military, have already passed certain tests. I mean, Rand says that it's $2.0 to $4.2 million per year for the health concerns, which is a tiny fraction of the $4.93 billion yearly health budget.
Yeah.
Just the health budget.
No. How about this? Let's just focus on other military waste. We did a story a couple weeks ago about how the military decided to take out a contract with a private contractor that makes uniforms, and they supplied these forest camo uniforms to soldiers in Afghanistan, Afghan soldiers. Forest camo, when the majority of terrain in Afghanistan is desert, it's not forest. And why did they do that? They just wanted to give out a contract to private contractors to the tune of $28 million. By the way, the US government has uniforms that they could have given to these soldiers for free. But they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So please spare me the BS about, oh, we don't have enough resources. You have resources. They're just for private contractors, not taking care of your own soldiers and members of the military that serve the country.
Now, you might be wondering, when Trump issued the Muslim ban, that was stayed in courts because of certain cases brought, as the person from the ACLU, the staff attorney, Chase Strangio, points out that is not the case with this. According to Chase, the filings don't stop the ban from going into effect. This is graphic 6A. People are already having their health care withheld. People are being told they can't reenlist or being barred from reenlisting. The goal of the lawsuits is to stop that from happening and to put the policy on hold while the cases make their way through court. But that has not happened yet. So that's frustrating. That's so frustrating.
It is. It is really frustrating. But, you know, I commend the people who are courageous enough to fight Trump on this. You guys are amazing. Keep the good fight going. I know it feels like it's not going to happen, but I think eventually we're going to win.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to take a break?
We do have to take a break. Okay. So let's do that. Tweet to us using the hashtag TYTLive. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to TYT. Anna Kasparian and Brett Ehrlich with you. A few TYT lives before we move on to the next story. Norma GP says, my cat has more personal responsibility than Trump. It's true. Cats like to dig a little hole for their poo. And then they cover it. You know, it's considerate and it's thoughtful.
We have a cat. We got it like this litter box, which it thinks it's in when it poops, and it's not. Uh-huh. He'll like stand there, and then you come home, and the cat poop will just be kind of hanging out the side of it. Which sounds like a mistake, but the more you look into that cat's eyes, the more you realize it was the worst plan, like the meanest, most diabolical plan, just to be like, I could have. And I know you spent money on this box. I'm still gonna make you clean it up.
I have a fun Charlie story for the post-game show for our members. So let's do that. You know I love to talk about my dog.
Yes, so. I do.
And it also has to do with poo. Unregistered Chicano says, nice to see Trump's Klan rallies getting smaller. I absolutely agree. I mean, take a look at his approval ratings. It's to be expected. And I think the most telling part of his administration is the fact that he continuously makes these enemies out of allies. Mm-hmm. And now that Bannon is salty about his relationship.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
It's getting so bad that I think, I don't know who's gonna run against him besides the ones in the Republican Party who have said they're going to, pretty much.
Are you talking about people primarying him?
Primarying Democrats into whoever's running against Donald Trump. I think it will get so bad that they can use the slogan, make America great again.
That's true.
It's just like, it was better before. We can all agree on that. Let's make it great again.
Remember when we could do our jobs and then go home and think about other things?
Yeah. Oh, I hate it. It's the worst.
Now I go home and I'm like, I feel really guilty having any fun. Like I feel like I'm obligated and responsible to do more. And Friday nights used to be the best because no news breaks on Friday night. Night you go home, you get schwasted, you know, you do fun things for shiggles. Everything's awesome. But now Friday night is when shits and giggles. That's shiggles.
I know, but now I just want an entire book on Shop TYT that's your shorthand.
That would be fun. But anyway, now every Friday night, some disastrous story breaks. And yeah. Anyway, that's the world we live in.
How to speak Kasparian. Okay, I'm going to write that down. Sell it. I get 5%. 5%, I say. Okay, we're going to go on to a story that is a very serious story. So let's get into it. A jury just convicted a Chicago cop of the use of excessive force for shooting 16 shots at a car, wounding two teenagers. The officer in question's name is Marco Proano. The incident, yes, he was convicted of using unreasonable force and wounding two teenagers in an on-duty shooting caught on video in December of 2013. He let out 16 shots in 9 seconds at a stolen Toyota Avalon full of teenagers. One of the pieces of evidence used in the case was dash cam video, which we have, which shows how he exited the car and behaved. There's no sound, so we can talk through it. What gets me is turning the gun to the side like a cowboy. Or like, he's in a 1990s rap video.
Yeah. I'm really happy that no one got killed. And look, it was a stolen car, and so they were obviously involved in criminal behavior. There's no question about that. There's no defense of that, at least coming from me. However, look, your job as a cop is to make sure that you protect people. And that shooting happened in a residential area. I don't think anyone deserves to die simply because they stole a car. They certainly do deserve consequences, but that is not the consequence. Trying to kill someone, especially teenagers, should not be the consequence, right? And that was just such a dumb move on his part, to say the least. It actually put more people in danger. It threatened more people's lives. And it just shows how incredibly irresponsible he was during this situation. I'm actually shocked that the jury found him guilty.
Really? Why is that?
Because we've done so many of these stories. Look, Walter Scott comes to mind. Walter Scott, who was literally running away from the cop, got shot and killed in the back, right? Mm-hmm. Tamir Rice, there was no justice in that case. A 12-year-old playing with a toy gun, he got shot within 2 seconds of the cop showing up to the scene. I mean, these stories keep happening. Philando Castile is another example. Someone who let the cop know, I have a licensed gun in the vehicle. Cop opens fire and kills him in front of his girlfriend and her daughter, who was in the back seat. I mean, these stories are, like, they just continuously happen. And I feel like we're now conditioned to not expect justice. And so it is shocking that in this case, there was justice.
The Chicago Tribune kind of calls the justice system in that region to task. They say that this is a shift anyways in the kind of trials that go on, from bench trials to jury trials. They take issue with the number of judges who have just dismissed and acquitted. But this is a shift. They also say, this is, quote, the first Chicago cop in memory to be convicted in federal court of criminal charges stemming from an on-duty shooting. He also was the first officer to go to trial in any shooting case since the court-ordered release of the Laquan McDonald shooting video in November 2015 sparked heated protests, political turmoil, and promises of systemic change from Mayor Rahm Emanuel. That the same lawyer that defended the police officer in question, Officer Proano, is the same lawyer who will be defending the police officer in the Laquan McDonald shooting.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. A statement was released by the police department's union, the Fraternal Order of Police. The president, Kevin Graham, said, the pressure on the police is making the job extremely difficult. It seems that the criminal elements in our society are not accountable in our justice system, while the police face an intense scrutiny for every split second decision they make.
So I want to respond to that because I think it's important. First of all, the caveat that's always mentioned, and I think it goes without saying, yes, cops have an incredibly difficult job, especially in crime-ridden neighborhoods. And I know Chicago is dealing with increased crime, which is why it's more important than ever that the community trusts the cops, that if they feel that they might be the victim of a crime, they can call the cops and not be victimized by them. And unfortunately, there is a decrease in trust toward police officials because of what we're seeing over and over again, these shootings that occur over and over again. Now, those teenagers were in a stolen vehicle. And so, yeah, they should be prosecuted. They should face the consequences for their actions. That does not mean that they should be shot by that cop. The only way that I think it's justified for a cop to open fire is if the individual poses an imminent threat to the cop. And in this case, even though he said it was self-defense, the jury found, no, these teenagers were trying to drive away. They were reversing. They did not pose an imminent threat to him. And he needlessly walked toward the car. He walked toward the car and opened fire. So again, I am not making any excuses for the criminal activity of those perpetrators. But I do not believe that that cop was in imminent danger and he should not have opened fire. That was excessive force.
Right. And the Jason Meisner of the Chicago Tribune outlines kind of how the prosecution outlined this, especially using the video from the dash cam, saying prosecutors said the dash cam video of the shooting, which unfolded in about 9 seconds, showed Proano violated all of the training he received at the police academy, including to never fire into a crowd, only fire if you can clearly see your target, and to stop shooting once the threat has been eliminated.
Exactly.
So as you see, the car backs away from him and he advances toward it.
Exactly.
And again, this thing.
I know.
Shooting sideways with the gun. I mean, that can't be how they train you.
Of course, that's not how he was trained. I mean, look, there are flaws in the way some departments train their police officers. But I would be shocked if they train them to shoot like that.
Well, yeah, welcome to training. Day one, we're going to, it's a video portion. We're going to watch Don't Be a Menace. So if you could just please take your seats and just do whatever they do in this video. I can't believe that. To be, and then also I think it's worth outlining to people the kind of judge ordered acquittals that weren't trial based, the bench trials that are recently in Cook County, as outlined by the Chicago Tribune. In 2015, Detective Dante Servin was cleared in a fatal off-duty shooting of Rekia Boyd, where the judge in that case, the judge isn't always apparently culpable in this situation. They said everything according to the Chicago Tribune, except like you should have charged them with murder and not a lesser charge. 2015, Commander Glenn Evans put a gun down Ricky Williams' throat and was belittled. They belittled the evidence of DNA on the gun as of quote fleeting relevance or significance. The fact that the allegation was the gun was placed in his mouth and there was DNA of Williams on the gun was dismissed as of little significance. And Officer John Gorman accused of an off-duty shooting, of firing shots at a vehicle during a traffic altercation after he'd been drinking, was released. Keep your eye out for the Laquan McDonald case as it continues. Also, that police officer in question, it was inadmissible in the trial, but over a three-year span, this is his third shooting. One involved a $3.5 million settlement to the family of one of the people he shot, though that has been overturned and awaits appeal. So I think it's good that we are using more video in these cases. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that a jury of one's peers was able to look at this and see what a lot of us as peers saw and be like, that's excessive to shoot 16 times. We're grateful no one was killed, but this is one time where we see the video and the jury's verdict, the verdict reflects how a lot of us feel.
Absolutely. So
that's good. All right. Everybody shake it off. This is probably the least important story of the day. I want to make sure I have all my elements ready because we're going to take you on quite a little journey. The NRA's Concealed Carry Expo went down in Milwaukee this weekend, and nothing embodies the unabashed masculinity and bro kick acidness of the NRA quite like a fashion show. There was the Concealed Carry Fashion Show where models had certain things like the man pack, the pack and neat, the lady conceal. Let's take a look at some of these hot ticket items that are gracing the runway in Milwaukee, which is that's a gun holster in your bag. This isn't just a bag you can put your gun in. Here's another one. This is the Vinci. Vinci meaning victory, I believe. Conquer. I conquered. This one we need to hold on for a second.
Oh, wow.
What is happening here?
I don't know. It just looks like a guy putting a gun in his pocket.
Why is his shirt nowhere?
I don't know.
Where is it? I see he is growing a layer of shirt from his chest, but that's just hair.
You know, I do want to give him credit for his confidence, though, because it's a confident move. He's feeling good about himself, and I applaud that.
Casting call, looking for models. Run down the runway. Every man models. And the guy shows up. Sorry, I forgot my shirt. Can I still be in it? Yes.
Oh, man.
Do you have fingers? Yes. All right, put this somewhere near you. Here's the next one. This guy's actually, what's the pointed
finger?
Oh,
he's having a fun time.
I just don't see that as like a particularly necessary item, I guess.
I don't know what's going on. And I don't know how they decided.
Yes. Live strong, buddy.
I don't know how they decided on who would be part of this fashion show. But I'm curious, if you were offered to be—
They're loving it.
They love it.
Yeah.
If you were offered to be part of this fashion show, you'd get paid.
Yeah.
But you'd have to do it shirtless. Would you be into it?
Yes, 100%.
Really?
100% I would do it. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
How about you? You would have to be
I wouldn't do it.
You get dressed up like the women in the first two, so you're in a sophisticated outfit
I am not in line with the ultra liberal position regarding guns, okay? I don't want to ban guns, but I do want common sense gun legislation, gun control. I don't think that certain people who have access to guns right now should have access to guns. I want to close the gun show loopholes. I just want common sense. I've talked about my interest in obtaining a gun for self-defense to, you know, a lot of liberals. They don't like that I have that mindset, but it is what it is. It is a constitutional right. I think that constitutional rights do have limits, including the First Amendment, and I think the Second Amendment should also have limitations. Now, with that said, I don't think of guns as toys. I don't think of them as fashion statements. I don't think of them as something frivolous like that. They are weapons meant to kill. And so as a result, like, fashion shows like this aren't cute. They're not cute. And what it does is it really shows you what the NRA is. The NRA is not about protecting the Second Amendment. The NRA is an organization that's funded by gun manufacturers who want to profit as much as humanly possible. It is part of this capitalistic system that, you know, has a, you know, corporation or a number of corporations who just want to profit at any and all costs. And that's not okay. This is not funny, and it's not, well, it's kind of funny, but it's not cute.
Yeah, those are deadly weapons.
They are, they're deadly weapons. I just want people to take these guns seriously, right? I don't want to take your gun away from you if you're a law-abiding citizen, but I think that we need to have real conversations about gun safety, because we never talk about that, okay? There need to be laws that make it mandatory for people to put their guns in safe places so their kids can't get a hold of them. That conversation never happens. The only time you have conversations is when you hear from the two extremes yelling at each other and ripping each other's throats out. But
which
anyway.
Which they shouldn't do, because one of them has guns.
Right.
Let's take a look at some more photos, shall we?
Yeah, let's have fun.
Let's finish it out. I like it. Because what, it's a bag. I assume that somewhere in the bag is a location where that tucks away just nicely. Because the last thing you want to do is rifle around. You're like, no, that's my cigarettes, that's my lipstick.
She looks afraid of her gun. I mean, I know it's just one picture, but that was interesting.
I think the simplicity of this one's a good one.
I don't get what they're selling, okay? They're selling holsters?
It's accessories.
Like they didn't exist before?
It is gun accessory holsters, so you're not just tucking it. It seems like you're not just tucking it into your pants, which is the big fear that I always have. Even when I'm watching movies, when they tuck it into their pants, I'm like, you're gonna shoot your yo-yos off. And this one I love. It's an action shot. I assume the gun is in the bag, but at this point you don't know. She says, girls just gotta have guns and ammo, which totally rhymes with girls just wanna have fun. I don't know.
Why didn't she just leave it at guns? Like, girls just wanna have guns.
Girls just wanna have guns. That makes total sense.
So look.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And she added ammo.
For no reason.
She's like, what am I gonna do, throw the gun at someone? You think? I don't know. Do we have the video of my favorite gun accessory of all times, the backup? A video that came out? We do not. There was a infomercial that came out quite a while ago for this thing called the backup, which is literally just a gun rack for your shotgun that slides between your mattress and your box springs. Mm-hmm. And it's like the gun, the backup, which is tucks conveniently under your sheet. So you can like roll out of bed having just had a dream where you're being attacked by like wild buffalo unicorns, and then have your gun in your hand like immediately.
But look, that's what I'm talking about. If you have kids, that is accessible to your kids. I don't think you should store your gun there. Again, I don't want to take your gun away if you're a law-abiding, responsible citizen, but that's not where you should put your gun.
Yep.
Your gun should be in a safe that is inaccessible to your kids and to anyone that could potentially harm themselves. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever. Look, it's again, it's a huge industry. People stand to profit, and they're trying to appeal to you. And the way that they do it is, hey, if you're a woman, we got these cutesy little pink guns. It's a weapon meant to kill. It's not meant to be cute. So let's just, for once, take it seriously.
It's a weapon meant to be, yeah, that is the dress to kill. I already used that joke. I was going to use it. All right, well, let's move on. $51 billion industry, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Texas loves its pets, everyone. And amid all the destruction of Hurricane Harvey, it's nice to see some good news and something to warm your heart a little bit, like people saving their pets. folks have refused to leave their pets behind, which is actually a really, really difficult issue to face. When the hurricane is already causing so much death and destruction, the last thing you want to do is like have to worry about your pet. Well, it seems like, according to Monica Schmidt of Houston's Humane Society, it seems like everyone's coming off a boat. Everyone coming off a boat is carrying a dog or a cat. Apparently, in Katrina, 250,000 dogs or cats were displaced or died, according to the ASPCA. People stayed behind. Now there are shelters that are taking this into consideration and allowing people to bring their pets with them.
Oh, I love it.
Which is so nice. Houston's Bark Animal Shelter on Monday set up a trailer to help house displaced pets at one site that wasn't allowing pets inside. It said on its Facebook page, which is so nice. The Humane Society in Houston's 300 animal shelters will transfer existing animals to other locations after waters recede so it can take in an expected surge of stray animals. Is the zoo okay? I'm sure you're wondering. The zoo is okay, according to the report at the Houston Zoo. Although some of the animal enclosure moats were filled with water, the animals on the other side of those moats were fine.
Okay.
30 people stayed behind. The zoo's okay. Ugh, do you want to play a game called Make Anna Cry?
No, I don't want to play the game.
Because we're going to see some people who fled the waters to get to safety. And they brought their dogs with them.
Okay.
Anna, picture little Charlie.
No, don't do it.
Mama, take me with you.
Oh, I would not leave Charlie behind. There's nothing that could convince me to leave him behind. Look, there were stories of people who were being turned away from shelters that weren't allowing pets. And so family members would take turns waiting outside the shelter just to be with their pet. And so, you know, it's raining, they're drenched, it's uncomfortable, but they don't want to leave their pets behind. I would do the exact same thing. There's nothing that would make me leave my dog behind.
Would you look like this person hauling your dog to safety on your shoulders?
That's really sweet.
Look at that, and that dog is so cooperative.
And so cute.
I knew this human would come in handy. People passing dogs off in little coolers when they get to safety. Look at them go. Holding their dogs, waiting to get into the buses to be taken to safety.
Look, for some people who don't have a dog or a pet, it seems ridiculous how emotional people get about their pets. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not the equivalent of a human being and it's not the equivalent of having a child. All of that said, it feels like a family member, right? So Charlie feels like a family member to me. And I get super emotional thinking about what life is gonna be like when he's no longer around, because that's gonna be part of life and I know it's gonna happen. He provides so much emotional support. Like, he's just a dog. He doesn't intentionally do that, right? But he, look, last year I dealt with depression and anxiety and it was bad. And I really didn't start getting better until I got Charlie, until I adopted him. Mm-hmm. And it was the best decision of my life.
You're in the middle. Mm-hmm. Over here is Charlie. Mm-hmm. Over there is Christian.
Oh, come on.
You have to choose as the floodwaters rise. Yes.
No,
you're an Olympic swimmer.
I'm not answering that question.
Think about it.
No, I'm not going to think
answer
about it.
Answer it. Look in that camera.
No.
Look in that camera. Look at it.
What's wrong with you?
Answer it with your eyes. You don't have to say anything.
I would.
There.
I'm not answering this question. This is the wrong question.
All right, we have two or three more photos. Let's finish the photos because they're going to warm your heart and make you feel. Okay, so she's carrying her pups, one in each arm. This one is more of a cat person's photo. Look at the cat.
I feel so bad for these people. I feel so terrible for them.
The cat ones are the most impressive when they say they're people carrying their cats, that the cats would participate. Now, this one is...
No, I'm good. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Okay, so for those of you who are listening in on SiriusXM, the picture features, you know, an older man who, you know, obviously his property has been severely damaged by the storm, and he's embracing his dog, and it appears he's sobbing, and it's a very... emotional photo.
Yeah.
And
When it was reported on, it was said that this man was recounting what he considered the most frightening experience he'd ever been through, and he had his dog there to get him through it. Looked up at him, and he had to make a decision between his dog
and Christian. I get it.
It was weird that Christian was there, your husband.
Yeah.
But he had to make that decision.
You gotta stop.
All right, we'll find out when the cameras stop rolling.
Anyway, my heart goes out to all those people in Houston, and I can't imagine what it's like to go through all that. And I'm not crying; it's just I got something in my eye. But yeah, it's a tough thing to have to leave your pets behind. And I know that a lot of people in Houston did have to make that decision and did lose their pets as a result.
So. Right. And I go through and I find these stories. I mean, of course, stories of people we've covered that in other parts of the show, but the stories of folks had to. They went and doubled back, and folks are doing that now, doubling back to see if they can find their dogs. And many of them do, which is great, and it's nice that they're allowed. Stop crying, it's embarrassing.
I'm not crying, I'm good.
I get emotionless, I get less emotional when it feels worse.
What about your cat?
I don't care. Sometimes my fiance will just be like, this thing will die someday. And just look at me, it's really depressing, she gets dark. Okay, let's move on to the final thing, pizza time. Zombie cars will be bringing people in Ann Arbor pizza. What do I mean by that? Well, Domino's and Ford are teaming up for a new initiative where driverless cars will be dispatched to certain lucky Domino's pizza ordering fiends, and they will be extremely confused. So the idea is that they will have a random person will be chosen. You'll use the Domino's app. They'll pick a random person. They'll give you a call and say, are you okay with a driverless car getting there? And after that, quote, people will have to come out of their homes and type a 4-digit code into a keypad on the mounted on the car that will open the rear window and let customers retrieve their order from a heated compartment. The compartment can carry up to 4 pizzas and 5 sides, Domino's Pizza Inc. says.
Only 4 pizzas and 5 sides?
How many pizzas do you order?
I mean, sometimes you want variety. What if you're having a pizza party? You want more pizza. But anyway,
I'm gonna have to get more friends if I need to order that.
Anyway, that's not the main point I want to make. Look, this kind of stuff is happening among various companies throughout the country. And I'm not just talking about driverless cars. I'm talking about, you know, jobs being lost to automation. And so oftentimes when we discuss bringing jobs back to the United States, we'll focus on things, positions that have been outsourced, which that's a legitimate conversation. But a lot of people are going to lose their jobs because of automation. A lot of people have already lost their jobs because of automation. I'm not saying that I don't want to advance technology, but we also have to think about the ramifications of advancing that technology. Now, at the same time, we also have a political party that is fighting tooth and nail to dismantle public education, which will essentially do away with opportunities for people to, you know, learn the skills necessary for a competitive job market. We can't let that happen. We need to make sure that our workers are skilled, that we have access to affordable education on a college level and free education in a grade school on a grade school level. These are the kind of things that come to mind when stories like this come out. While it's exciting that technology is advancing, it's also a little scary because people will lose jobs and ways of earning money.
Yeah, it's strange because it was reported that according to the CEO, we'll go to graphic 31, Wiener said the company has 100,000 drivers in the US. In a driverless world, he says that he could see those employees taking on different roles in the company.
I hope so.
It's weird.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Anyway, we do have a post-game show for our members. So if you're a member, stick around. And of course, that will be live. Brett will be joining me. And for everyone else, have an awesome night. We will see you tomorrow. Ready?
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.